We are living in a world whose value for the theoretic has deteriorated. The value for the theory of things has evaded us, and there is a need for practicality. There is a need for the practice of what is theory. If you avail a theory without the practical side of it, and not only avail a theory without the practical side of it, but avail a theory, and if it is not almost immediately followed up by the practical side of it, then the theory is thrown away or it is disregarded. It is disregarded. The reason we as a church or we as a faith are in this space for we've been in this space for long is because for so long our theology has been theoretic. We have not caught up our theology with the practicality of it. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. So we have so many theological stands, but what fails or what is not available is the practical side of the theology. Those people who've gone to theology, some say that theology is a science, and you understand that every science has a theory and a practical side of it. Every science has a theory and a practical side of it, where you learn the theory, and after you've learned the theory, you are obligated to actualize the theory and make it practical. Okay? That is the same thing as theology, but for so long, theology has been confined to the spaces of the theoretical part of it. So we've been practicing a faith out of a teaching or out of a direction, a theological direction that is only a theological direction that is only theoretic. Let me say that again. We've been practicing a faith out of a theological direction that is only theoretic and lacks the manifestive and the practicality of that which is taught. The theology that we've been practicing and believing in and being taught in lacks the practicality of it. So every time someone who comes from a space or an environment that is only theoretical begins to practice the theory, then it brings up a problem because the minds of men, the minds of the church in that environment are not used to the practice or the practical side of the theory. That's why in spaces or in churches where miracles abound, it will not take long, especially if that church or if that church is founded in an environment where the practicality of it is failing. It will not take long before you begin to hear that that church practices witchcraft, or that church solicits power from an evil source. This is not because people do not want to believe that the word can be practical, but it is because they have been taught for long and long, over and over, that the only faith that has been built that can provide a practicality to miracles, signs, healings, wonders is a faith that is associated by witches, that is associated by demons, by witchcraft and all these sorts of things. Because the only time we hear that miracles happen is when they happen through the hands of those guys. But it is important because the world as it is right now, the world has evolved from a place of a thesis into a place of practical stuff. If it is not practical, then it is not bought into the world. So if you come and speak, for example, if you are a motivational speaker and we do not see the motivation in your practical life, if we do not see the providence of that which you are motivating us with, then we cannot listen to you because it is not practical. There is no way you can tell us that this and this and this and this can work, yet when we look into your life, we do not see it working. You get what I'm saying? There is a need for us as believers that every time we will begin to speak about Christ, then we can show the world who this Christ is. There is a need and a dire need for us that when we begin to speak about the power of the Holy Spirit, it is not just limited to things that can be done by what is not of the Holy Spirit. It is not just limited to things that can be done by money, by man, by association, by connections. It has to have an evidence that it is absolutely the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we are lagging behind, and then our faith is now becomes impractical, and it cannot be sold to a people of this generation. Unlike the generation that precedes mine, unlike the generation that comes before my generation, where you would scare people into heaven, the generation right now cannot be scared into heaven via hell, cannot be told that if you do not believe, you will go to hell, because people are experiencing hard times that they compare their lives to hell. They are saying, people say that if my life as it is already hard, so you cannot threaten me to believe in God. You cannot threaten me to believe in God. It is only when it is practical, it is only when it is not just sold by word of mouth, it is sold by the evidence of what the word can provide, then people will begin to believe. Do you get what I'm saying? So, the church is in a place where it is catching up. The church is in a place where it's catching up. We are catching up because for so long, the word has not been taught from a practical point of view. The word has not been taught from a practical point of view, in that everything else, everything that's happening in the church is a catch up to what the world is. So right now, there is an emphasis on what is called the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel, as they call it, there's absolutely nothing like that, unless you come from a different theological thought frame, and that's a story for another day. But we are catching up, and because we are catching up to a people who are already prosperous. Let me say that again. We are catching up to a world that is already prosperous materially. We are catching up to a world that is already prosperous materially. So the definition of what prosperity is has already been set, but it has not been set by the church. I pray you hear me by the Spirit. The definition of what prosperity is has already been set, but it has not been set by the church. That's why when we preach prosperity, there is a backlash, because the understanding of what prosperity is that of the world. There is a debate on what prosperity is and what it should be like. And because the church has never taught, has never emphasized, we have not been emphasizing on a gospel and the word that is not practical in nature. And the only practicality of the word that has been taught is a practicality of hope. So there is a hope to be prosperous in the next life. This is a fallacy. This is error. We are taught to await a prosperity that comes in the next life. Yet, we have already received the next life. Faith gives us the life that we are being taught to hope for, yet we already have it. But we have never been taught to live like we already have the life that we hope for. So we are catching up. We are catching up to a world that has already been prosperous, but it has been prosperous and set a definition of what prosperity looks like. So every time prosperity is taught to the church, there must be a backlash, because it is not defined from the precepts of the kingdom. It is not defined from the lens of the kingdom of God. It is not defined from a people. It is not a people of the kingdom who have given prosperity a definition. So because we are catching up, we are literally again catching up to a definition of prosperity that is not of the kingdom. So when prosperity is taught, the other mistake that the teachers are doing is that they do not seek to find what is prosperity according to the kingdom of God. This is just an example to explain. I'm literally not teaching about prosperity, and no, I'm not teaching about, but I'm trying to correct something. So every time it is taught, and you would hear it being taught, the emphasis of the prosperity that is being taught is not that is, it sounds like that which is taught from the aspect of the kingdom, but if you look deeply into it, it is not, because we are trying to catch up. We're trying to catch up so that we can have influence over our world. We're trying to catch up so that we can have influence over the world that has already grasped what we call influence. But I believe you and I are a different breed. I believe you and I are cut from a different cloth. I believe you and I will set things right. I believe you and I will bring things into perspective and will begin to define and give a tone to things. And now the world will begin to follow after us. There is a need for every word that is taught to be produced or to produce fruit or to be seen, and not only be seen, but be translated into a language that the world can understand. I'd urge you to go back and look at and listen to Consistency. That's a teaching we taught a few months ago. I'd also urge you to go back and listen to the series on transactions, so that it can refresh your mind and help you understand better what it is I'm addressing. And listen to them over and over and over. So there is a need to be practical. There is a need to be practical. And when we begin to have a word that is practical, when we begin to have a word that is practical in nature, meaning that when we speak it, we see results. We see results of it immediately or not so far from when we spoke it, when we speak it. There's a need for us to come to that space and for us to desire. And that's why I was saying that we are tasked to guard the presence of God jealously. We are tasked to guard the presence of God jealously, that there is nothing else that we desire. There is nothing else that we want apart from the presence of God and our proximity to the presence of God. We guard it jealously because it is through the presence of God that the word of God becomes activated in our life. It does not only become a word that we read and speak, it becomes a practicality, because when we combine our understanding of the word of God and our proximity to the presence of God, then things begin to happen. It is the combination of the word and the presence that provides the power of God. It is the combination of the understanding of the word and walking, living, eating, drinking, sleeping, the presence of God that provides the active power of God. Are we together? So, yes, please. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you are, can you just open up your mouth and begin to pray?
Just a minute.
Come on. If you can unmute your mic and just pray for a minute, just pray. Le bragasi le manda le mande le prakatos ke le mande. Le brazo le brazo kasukuta la mande praji. La braba pa 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 La braba pa 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 ji le trado je casto con de le mande le prase canto lo praje cato clo pre pe 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 le caso clo braba pa 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 je casto clo tre praje casto clo praje cande le praje le prato coste rande je prasto con de le prazo coste clande le prate grande la prozo coste clande le prase cande le prazo coste clande le basse clande le ba. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I told you last week that we will be going. We'll be going like this. It's not planned. It's not arranged. It's not in order. And that's why I insist that as you listen to me, you listen to the Spirit of God also. Listen to the Spirit of God. There is a level of dependency on the Spirit of God that does not only change your spirit. It moves you from the place of being a natural man. Remember, a natural man is not a man who's not born again. You can be born again, but you're still natural. So there's a level of dependency on the Holy Spirit that moves you, that moves the change, not just from the spirit to the soul and ultimately to the body. Let me say that again. There's a level of dependency on the Spirit of God, a level of dependency that we need to come into that moves us not only in the place of the Spirit, that lifts us not only in the place of the Spirit that we have received salvation, but now begins to change our mentality, our soul. It invades our soul, and after invading our soul, it begins to invade our body. Begins to invade our body. It is important for us as believers to have absolute dependency on the Spirit of God, as if to mean we have no minds of our own. It is important for us as believers, for those who are writing, to have absolute dependence on the Spirit of God, as if to mean we have no mind of our own, as if to mean we have no mind of our own, and we are thinking through the direction of the Spirit, that we need to allow the Spirit of God to captivate our minds and our thoughts until we are on full dependency. Literally, full dependency on the Spirit of God. That does not mean to make your mind docile. That does not mean to make your mind idle. That does not mean not to exercise your mind, but it means to submit your mind into a renewal by the Spirit of God, that everything that passes through it is the voice of the Spirit. the dependency of the Spirit can be summed up in two fashions for today. The dependency of the Spirit can be summed up in two fashions. And that is where a believer comes into the space of the manifestation of the gift and of the production of the fruit of the Spirit. A believer needs to be at a space where they do not only manifest the Spirit, but they are characterized by the Spirit. I know I have taught this, but because revelation goes on growing and God continues to open us up into new revelation, and this is what I have taught before. That our character needs to change. Our character needs to change. But that has a deficiency in itself. It is not for us to change our character. It is for us to obtain the character of the Spirit and make our character obsolete. Let me say that again. It is not for us to change our character. It is not for us to copy and paste a character. It is for us to negate totally our good character and obtain firmly and 100% the character of the Spirit of God. Every time there is a copy and a paste, the pasted version of that copy is degraded. Every time something is copied and pasted, the pasted version of that copy degrades. So we are not to copy the character of the Spirit. We are to obtain the character of the Spirit in that it is not us who live, but it is He that lives in us. A theoretic theology brings us to a place where we be like Christ. And I know I've said this over and over. If you've heard me, I've said it. I know I've said it and so many others. But we are not called to be like Him. We are called to die so that He can live. We are not called so that we can look like Him and imitate Him. No, we are called to put our lives on the cross so that the life that was given on the cross can live through us. The life that lives through us is a life that manifests in two ways. It manifests by the manifestation of the Spirit and by the character of the Spirit. When you are, it is.
How do we die? How do we crucify ourselves?
One of the ways to begin to die is by being dependent on the Spirit of God. You know how a child does not do anything until they consult the parent? You know how a child does not do anything at all until they ask if they should do it and how they should do it? It's total dependency. When the Spirit of God begins to I'm sorry, Nyaja has just joined. I'm sorry, guys, but that display name is funny. Nyaja has just joined the broadcast. Namu enjoy kabla audio yake come up. So when the Spirit of God begins to live through you, it means that there's a requirement on you to negate the place. Your place to negate the place that makes decisions for you. Let me try explain it. You see what not self-denial. You see what the way you are built to have a mind, to have a soul, that is the mind, the will, your emotions. When they are put together, they form what is generally called the heart of man, the epicenter of man, where decisions are made, where direction is formed, where discussions are made. It's like the engine. It's like the engine of you. Yes, that's good, Val, possesses you. It's like the engine of you. It's like you have, the way you are made, you have a corner in yourself. You have a corner in yourself where you go to consult, where you go to consult and make decisions. You decide whether I should do this, whether I should love this person. That's where you nullify your emotions. When you begin to become emotional over a certain person, that's where you either decide, you choose to continue to enable your emotions and love, or choose not to love the thing or the person and whatnot. It is the space where man is formed. It is the natural man. Now, when the Spirit comes in, there is an obligation to yield this space of yours under the Spirit of God and the right word that Val has said, so that the Spirit of God can possess you. So that the Spirit of God can possess you. And when you are possessed by the Spirit, then you are given direction by that which has possessed you. The epicenter of man, when it is yielded to the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God possesses you, and it should look like you have no mind of your own. It looks like you have no mind of your own. You cannot make decisions on your own. And it is not that you cannot make decisions of your own, but you have yielded your will, your emotions, and your mind to the Spirit of God. So that when He begins to give you direction, even when they do not make sense, you say, I am a possessed man. We have been called to become madmen. That sounds bad, but that's it. We have been called to yield our faculties of our educated faculties, our the faculties that have been created in us to give us direction, to make us think, we've been called to yield them to Christ, to yield them to the Spirit, so that we take up his mind and not ours. So that when the Spirit of God tells you jump, you begin to jump. When the Word of God tells you to kneel down, you begin to kneel down. You see, when you are in love with a person, and this person says something that is absolutely stupid, but you still laugh. You're so funny. That is the state that we ought to be with the Spirit of God. That we don't decide if it's funny or not. Even before we make the decision to know if my boyfriend is fine, he's already fine. Why? Because you are in love. What love makes, what, oh, la praga sekata la pra. Thank you, Jesus. What love does is that it covers our ability to make sense, yet again protect us from nonsense. What love does, it covers our ability to make sense of things, but that same love should protect us from nonsense. What do I mean? That when we begin to be in love with the Spirit of God, we are so deeply in love with the Spirit of God that we do not see anything else apart from the Spirit of God. Yet again, because we have made our minds obsolete, He protects us from anything that would hurt us because we are not thinking.
Jesus, I love you. Let's go to Proverbs 20:27, then I show you something. Very simple scripture that the Spirit of God will help me make sense of it. Can someone with good news read it for us? If you have the Good News Bible, please read it for us. Proverbs 20:27. Anyone?
Let me read.
Okay.
Proverbs 20:27. It says, "The Lord give us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves."
Val, can you mute? Okay, go.
The Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves.
Read it again.
The Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves.
That's just the wisdom of the Spirit of God. That's just the wisdom of the Spirit. That's the Good News Bible. Does anyone have the Good News translation?
That's good news.
There's the Good News Bible, and then there's the Good News translation. I need the Good News translation. That's the Good News Bible that you've just read. Can someone get me the Good News translation? It's the same. So the same. Anyone with Amplified? Amplified.
I have it.
Okay, let's go.
The spirit, in brackets, conscience of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching and examining all the innermost parts of his being.
Can you read it again?
The spirit, or conscience of man, is the lamp of the Lord, searching and examining all the innermost parts of his being.
Okay. So it says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of God, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of man is the lamp of God. You see, when this scripture was written, I am not so sure if he had the understanding that we possess right now. I'm not so sure if he had the understanding that we possess right now. But this is it. God has given you a spirit. And when your spirit is made alive, your spirit becomes his detective. Your spirit becomes his detective. So the spirit of God, and the spirit of man, when they are made one, your conscience that has been given to you becomes that which should offer you direction. So counsel, the counsel of God, the counsel of God is given to your spirit. It doesn't matter if you will take it or not take it, but the counsel of God is given to your spirit. You can no longer hide from the counsel of God. You can no longer hide from what the Spirit of God is directing. You can no longer hide from God. You can no longer hide from God. You see, if today you begin to yield to the Spirit of God, in the days that you do not yield from the Spirit of God, you will know for sure that you've not yielded, because your conscience will begin to expose you. There is no need to have double-mindedness. There's no need to have double-mindedness. Double-mindedness comes in when you have the Spirit of God, the mind of the Spirit, but are still clinging to your mind. In fact, they say a being with two minds or two heads is a monster. There is a requirement on us to be desperately directed by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Another dilemma that faces us as a church is when we get to the place where the practical side of the gospel is visible, but then again, the theory is missing. we get to a space where we teach how to be practical, and the practicality begins to thrive, but the theory is missing or is not emphasized on, because we will now reduce the practicality of what we've been teaching into a space that it cannot be withheld. It cannot stand for long. What I was telling you last time, that how do we judge things of the spirit and things of the flesh? It is not by how they look, it is by fruit, it is by fruit, it is by love, it is by longevity. It is by fruit, by love, by longevity. Every believer must come to a space where they manifest the presence of God. It is not, they manifest the gift of the Spirit. Sorry, they manifest the gift of, every believer must come to a space where they manifest the gift of the Spirit. It is not for a select few. It is not available to a certain group of people that will make the entire church run to them. No, it is the guarantee. It is the inheritance of every believer to manifest the gift that is the Spirit. And as every believer manifests the Spirit, in that same manner, every believer must bring forth fruit. Every believer must bring forth fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Every time the manifestation of the Spirit is done without the fruit being born. Every time we do not bear the fruit and we are manifesting the gift of the Spirit, we cannot sustain the power, the blessing that comes from the manifestation of the gift turns back to destroy us. It works against us. It destroys us. Let me give you an example. There are certain temperatures that this plastic bottle cannot survive in. There are certain temperatures that this plastic bottle cannot survive in. So when this plastic bottle is put in that temperature, it is destroyed. It is consumed. It is not refined. It is consumed. But this plastic bottle is good enough to hold what it's holding right now. So when we do not begin to bear fruit, when we are not bearing fruit is an equivalent of dying to self. Joy, am I answering you? Bearing the fruit of the Spirit is another way of fully depending on the Spirit of God. A fruit-bearing Christian is dead. So they do not bear their fruit, they bear the fruit of the Spirit. And when you begin to bear fruit, you begin to acquire the character of the Spirit. So that when you begin to manifest in His power, the character will sustain you. So when you get to a space when that power begins to melt things off, those things that were plastic in you are melted away, and that which is sustained, that which is sustained, is refined in that same fire. It's like you are this plastic bottle. Let me say that again. Let me try as much as possible to bring this out. Well, like this plastic bottle, yes, you can hold water, but you come into a space where you are introduced to gold. And you begin to refine gold, and you know, gold can burn and become liquid. But now you are this plastic bottle, and then you go and begin to pour gold in this. The gold will be seen for a while, but at the end of the day, the bottle will be destroyed. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is said that the Bible says that new wine requires new wineskin. When they put new wine in old wineskin, then the old wineskin cannot contain the new wine. Cannot contain the new wine. Let me give you the science behind it. Or so I think it's the science. You see, when in those old days, when they had wineskins, it was skin that they would put wine in it, and then that wine would begin to ferment, so it would be locked in that skin bottle, and it would begin to ferment. And as it would begin to ferment, the skin would expand. It would expand. It would expand. It would be expand, and then that wine would be ready. And when that wine was ready, it would be poured out. Okay, so this becomes an old wineskin, and the wine that is poured out is now the mature wine, the old wine. But when it was time to make new wine, meaning fresh wine, they would not take the old wineskin, because when they would put the new wine in the old wineskin and the wine begins to ferment, the skin had already gotten to its elasticity, like its breaking point. So it would expand, and before the wine is ready, the skin would no longer contain the new wine, and so it would break. And the wine would be spilled. Do you get it? So when you get born again, it is the equivalent of being receiving new wine in you, but the old you, the natural mind, the natural man cannot contain the levels, the potential, the growth of the spirit that you have received. You in your natural state cannot contain the spirit of God in his. So when he begins to grow, and you are still clinging to the old mentality, the old wineskin, then it comes a time where it destroys, it bursts off, it cannot be contained. So when you get born again, there is a requirement for you to have a new wineskin, a new mentality, and that's what we call repentance. You begin to change the way you think, and it is not just changing the way you think. Changing the way you think is one part to it, but the ultimate part is forgoing how you think, making how you think obsolete, so that you can acquire the new wineskin that can contain the spirit that has been deposited in you. So when the spirit grows, then the wineskin grows in the same capacity. When the spirit grows, the wineskin grows in the same capacity. We are not called to change our mentality. We are called to forgo our mentality totally. Dying to serve. We die to serve, so that when the Spirit of God begins to expand, he gives us a new mentality and a new perspective. And as he continues to expand, he's not only expanding in our spirit, but we have allowed our minds, we have yielded our minds, we've yielded our thought pattern, we've yielded our thought to the thought of the Spirit. So we are not getting a new thought. We are not thinking. We are not adapting to a new thinking. We are literally getting a new system of thinking, and that's when character, fruit is born, and the manifestation is born, and the possibilities, the possibilities of it are endless. He says that it is with God everything is possible. With God everything is possible. With God everything is possible. It is the foregoing of everything that you have, everything that you know, how you think, that makes it a possibility. Sale prakazul kali le magi je le manda la macro pagi la casso cota la magi le praga so costo le pragi de ba le carta le mascurba le prazuka. So you think you knew how to love, you forgot that mentality to be taught how to love afresh. That's when you will walk away from some people, because that's how you love them. And you will make peace with others, because that's the direction that you're being taught on how to love them. That's when you will pray over something that you urgently need today. You will pray, God, give me this, give me this, give me this. And you pray and you pray and you pray. And after that, you wait patiently. You wait patiently for 2 years without reminding God that you need that thing. Yet you needed it urgently. And after 2 years, he answers. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes we are frustrated in prayer because we are not bearing fruit. We're not fruit bearing, so our character, it's our character getting in the way. It's our character getting in the way and not his character. It's our character getting in the way. So because our character is getting in the way, our patience is limited. Yes, we are patient people, but it is limited. It is not it is old wineskin patience. You are patient, but it's old wine skin. And when we acquire the character of the Spirit, waiting for 5 years feels like waiting for a week. In my notebook, I've written the blessing that synced you. The blessing that synced you. There's the blessing of the Lord, and then there's a blessing that comes from practicing principles. There is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Then there is a blessing that comes from practicing principles. So it works. It works. It works. It works. It works. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow is the blessing that builds not only things that are tangible, but it builds the character that begins to sustain the things that are tangible. Do you know that wealth is more about character than it is about the material things that show forth wealth? Wealth is more about character than it is about the material things that show forth a man is wealthy. You see, for wealth to be known or defined as wealth, it has to pass down through different generations. Meaning that because I am wealthy and my children will be wealthy and their children will be wealthy and their children's children will be wealthy and their children's children's children will be wealthy. It is not the cows and the goats that I will leave for my children and then they pass them down. No, it is it is the wisdom in Kamuska Le Mandaraba. And a wise man leaves wealth for his children's children. He passes down the wisdom that builds their character to sustain the little, to sustain and grow the little, and then passes this wisdom is passed down to sustain and grow what is left from this second generation, and like that, and like that, and like that, and then it is called wealth. You have to understand when it comes to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the children of Israel, and then the nation of Israel, you have to understand that every time God spoke to Isaac about how he will give him wealth, he did not just tell him, I'll give him wealth. He told him, I will give you what I promised your father. He spoke of a covenant. And this covenant was not just a covenant of words, it was a covenant of faith. It was a covenant of faith. So Abraham was made righteous, meaning he obtained the character of the Spirit. And this same covenant was spoken to Isaac. It was the ability to sustain that which God had promised would manifest through them. And it was spoken to Jacob, the same ability to sustain that which was spoken by God that he will provide and give to them. So you continue to pray that God should give you wealth, but you are not dying. You're not dying to self. You are not forgoing your character. You're not forgoing your mentality. And because God has a greater plan for your life, he has a purpose for your life. You're not one of those people who he will give wealth so that wealth can destroy them. He withholds that wealth until the day you die. And in the day you die, he begins to live through you. In the famous words of the wise man Giuliani, he says, wewe ni mfaithful haumangi mangi, ama hauna do za lodging. Some of us, God sustained us from having children out of wedlock by making us broke. Yet we were still praying for money that time. But character was amiss. Character was amiss. He knew that if he gives you money, utatesa hii Nairobi mbaya. How many young people have died within the first year of buying their first cars? That is not what we are seeking for. What we are seeking for it to be sustained and for it to revolutionize the world, for it to be used of God, it must have an avenue that has been stabilize. It must have an avenue, that a character that can sustain it. That if disaster comes in, your character, the character of the spirit in you, is strong enough to withhold you. That when people are perishing, it is character that sustains you. The day you begin to bear fruit is the day you die. So how do you die? Bear fruit. How do you die? You bear fruit. The death of man is mystical. This is the other thing. This is how we also die. Can you hear him? Can you hear him speak to you now? Can you hear him speak to you now? Can you hear him speak to you now? Just hear him speak to you now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. We must give our logic. We must surrender our logic for logos. In place of our logic, we must take logos. The full definition of the word logos is not just the written word of God, but it is the thought process. It is the thought process that computes. It is the computing power of the thought. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the computing power. It is the thought. It is the logic of God. Logos is the logic of God. And that is what we must surrender our thoughts for. Let's go to Romans 6. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That our old man was crucified. Our old man was crucified together with him. Our old man, the old wineskin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Do you hear that? For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. There is no difference of a fornicator and a man who's not yielded their mind and their thinking pattern to the Spirit. Their fruit will be the same. There is no difference of a drunkard and a man who's not yielded their mind absolutely to the Spirit of God. Their fruit will be the same. Their fruit will be the same. The worst part is that this man who's not yielded his mind to God will be self-righteous. Be self-righteous. Rose, I'll read your text, but it's a bit too long. That's the worst part, that they would be self-righteous. To be self-righteous. There is nothing as bad as you being self-righteous and then you are told, get away from me, I did not know you. You preached in his name, but he did not know you because you did not yield your mind. You did not die. You did not die. You did not die. You kept the law. You kept the law. You did not steal. You did not murder. You did not take someone's wife. You did not covet. You did not do all those things. But the standard, according to grace, was to yield your mind absolutely and become desperate to the Spirit of God. And that didn't happen. But you kept the law. And you'll be told we are no longer of the law. May that not happen to you. May that not happen to you. Colossians chapter 2. Le baranda, je le manda là-bas. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Raised him from the dead. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Thank you, Jesus. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judged us. If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He died for all, so that those who live, so that we who live, should no longer live for ourselves. You know what that tells you? You have no right. You have no right. You have no right. You cannot become an activist. You cannot become an activist. You have no rights. You have no rights. You have no rights. Cannot become an activist. Have you ever had a people in a church who have the audacity to question the leading of the Spirit of God? As if to say it's their life they are living. The Spirit of God explicitly speaks and tells us to jump 60 times. And when we begin to jump 60 times, a grown man says, we cannot do that. You know, we are grown men, can't do that. As if to say he has more wisdom than he who told us to jump 60 times. What if I can tell you today that when the Spirit of God tells you to jump 60 times, it is Christ who died so that you can live for him. And if Christ were in your place, he would be jumping 60 times. But now, because you bear his life, you are required to jump 60 times. Let me read it again. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Meaning that we can only bring people to Christ, we can only preach the word that is effective to men and women, to nations, if we are dead and we no longer live for ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Let's read another scripture, Matthew 10:39 and Matthew 16:25. Matthew 10:39. Let's read from 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You get it? You get it? To that extent, it is to that extent. 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 It is absolutely to that extent. Death to that extent, 1625. Then Jesus said to his disciples, from verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Death. To the absolute place. Death. 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 Can we pray for a minute before we switch gears to another thing? And then we close. Just pray for a minute. Just pray for a minute. Come on. Can I hear you pray?
I ask for forgiveness. Can
I hear people yield? Can I hear people yield? Can I hear people yield? Can I hear people yield? Can I hear people yield?
I surrender, Lord. I surrender.
Yield, 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 yield. Can I hear men and women yield themselves to God?
Father, thank you, O God Jesus. I worship, O God. Lebrosi,
de zistolus. Le bangise le moto le prazus le trodise prazus tele pradi. Raprezo costale cratale prazine bradi. Lande le maso costale prazuta libradi. Ma ze castale cratale brazi. Ze castolobra. Makaza, thank you, Jesus. 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 As I was praying today, As I was praying today, Martha, did you get to concerning the text you sent me? Was it expanded more to you?
Not quite. I didn't get enough time to go through it again.
Okay. As I was praying today, and then you sent me that text, and I wrote what the Spirit of God was speaking to you. God took me to two scriptures, Amos 9:13. And I pray that the Spirit of God will help you find wisdom to link what I'm about to say and what we've been learning. Amos 9:13 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10. Let me begin with Amos. Amos 9:13. Says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Nat, are you still here? She's not. Okay. What does this scripture mean? The basic picture that is painted here is that a time is coming that there will be so much harvest in the land that before you collect your harvest, it will have come time to plant again. That there will be so much yield in the land that by the time you finish harvesting, it's already planting season. Or you cannot even harvest to the end. By the time you are nearing finish the end of the harvest, then the planting season starts. And then it says that the wine, the new wine, the mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. And this is the thing. There are times that we have prayed, hadi unakula mbegu. Like, there's a time, times are so tough until distinguishing between bread and seed becomes hard. It becomes hard. You end up eating what should be planted, and at times planting what should be eaten. So there is a God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. But then again, a time has come when even before you go plant, the harvest is not yet done. And that time is now. That time is now. That time is now. That seasons will overlap each other. 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 That it will be time for planting, and it is still time for harvesting. That the harvest of the previous season will overlap to the next season. Not in the storehouse, but in the fields. And I pray that it will not be that the harvesters or the workers will be few. The workers will be few. This is not it. This is not that. This is not that. That the workers will be few, but the harvest is plenty. So it overlaps. No. The harvest will be so much. And that time is now. 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 So I speak it prophetically. I speak it prophetically. That he who supplies seed to the sower will supply bread for food. That you will not be in a space where you debate whether you will eat seed because there is no bread. Because now seasons are overlapping. In the name of Jesus Christ. I speak this in Jesus' name. I speak this in the name of Jesus. I speak this in the name of Jesus. I speak this in the name of Jesus. That as we begin to yield completely, desperately to the Spirit of God, we'll begin to experience certain things that we read in Scripture that we cannot explain, that can only be lived by a people who have the capacity, and that capacity is dying. A people who no longer love their parents, their siblings, their loved ones more than they do Christ. Your life will never be the same again. Your life will never be the same again. So walk into this space. That time is now. It 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 is now. No longer will there be. I forbid you from being in the space where you can say, between me and poverty is 100 shillings. Or make it born again kidogo useme between me and my next money. No. Before that which you have is over, before the harvest is over, you will be back planting. In fact, the harvest will catch up with your time of planting. That you will have so much seed and so much food. Receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 Father, I thank you for your word. Spirit of God, possess us. Possess us tonight. Possess us from now henceforth. We die. Tonight we die. Tonight we die. Tonight our tombstones are carved out. We die. And on them it is written, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. We die. La praka sokoto le prazi. Le kapra pa 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 pa. Le ka sokoto le pra pa 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 pa. Le ka zakato lo prazi. Can someone find me the scripture that says, because you have loved me more than life? You have, I think it's in Psalms. La praga zoko soko prazika stoklo prazika ta la prazika da klandere basika. Le branzoko zikanta le prazika de me basika te le prazuka zita la prezi. Ra pa 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 pa. Le kato. Yo, it says your loving kindness is better than? Kindness is the one I'm looking for. Psalms. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Because your loving kindness is better than life, I decree that we will get to that place. That we will no longer have an appetite for life. We'll no longer have an appetite for life. We'll no longer have an appetite for life. We'll no longer have an appetite for life. La brazoko stale prazika. Le brakazoko stole prazika da la prezi. Je tradokozi. Reka brazoko stole praba pa 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 pa. Le kazokro. Pa 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 ba. Le. Zukla prajina, reka da krata da ba 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 ba, leka to klo pra pa 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 pa, magika to lo praje klato ro prajika, kastalendre ne magika to lo praji, rebra ba 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 ba, ah, zikanta la praje kata la la pra ba 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 ba, le krande zeklato ro praji. I want to decree a scripture over you. Gasi tele le pre le kato lo praji le kato lo lo praji kata da da pre ramajinde le praji rakazoklo to re pra pa ba 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 le kazoklo praji kanda le manji kanda re ba re de pa 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 pa. Because you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. I decree this over your life, that it will be said of you, that because you have loved righteousness, because you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, that therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. In the name of Jesus. We thank you and we bless your name. We thank you and we bless your name. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. 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 May God richly bless you. May God richly expand you. May we continue in that same path and in that same momentum. In that same path and that same momentum. God bless you. God bless you. I'll see you on Monday. God bless you. Have a good night. Have a good week. See you on Monday. Please invite a friend. Come with two people. Come with at least two people. Come with at least two people. Come with at least two people on Monday. God bless you. Have a good night.